Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
You're now listening to The Check-In with Black Menswear, and I'm your host, Neandre Broussard, CEO and founder of Black Menswear. It's unfortunate that black men have had to fight negative perceptions that not only make our personal journeys more difficult, but directly impact the wider African-American community. On The Check-In, we provide proof against these stereotypes by discussing engaging topics that uplift our community through interviews of inspiring individuals with stories of rags to riches, defeat to victory, and just downright interesting stuff you'll want to hear. Although Black Menswear was birthed out of a love for men's fashion and style, that love has blossomed into one of the internet's foremost communities for men to gain encouragement, inspiration, and of course, style and swag tips. We've literally gone viral over and over again for our flash mobs. Now, you ain't gotta be black to listen to this podcast, but you do have to keep an open mind and have a desire to be a part of something to change the narrative. Thanks for tapping in. This is The Check-In with Black Menswear.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of The Check-In. We are here in Los Angeles. Not only are we in Los Angeles, we're at the beautiful W Hotel West Beverly Hills. Now, this hotel has been immaculate from the time that we walked in. From the stair entryway, once you get in, you see the art all around. The amazing guest check-in area. But the thing that they did there, the way that they welcomed us here, me and my team, we've had a beautiful stay here while we've been here and been able to shoot in one of the suites that we're in now. Like, this is top tier. So if you're in LA, you know, you gotta come by West Beverly Hills. We're down the street from UCLA. It's a very dope aesthetic over here. It really breathes excellence. That's really why I liked it here versus other W locations where it's real swanky. It's too loud, it's too much going on. But for me and my homies on our Black Excellence Professional vibe, this is the perfect spot for us. So kudos to the team here at the W. We really appreciate everything. But this episode of The Check-In here at the W, I got my guy Thrash, Quentin Thrash, aka Mr. Put That Shit On. I'm gonna give you that name right now. Quentin, man, Thrash, bro, I appreciate you stopping in with us on The Check-In.
Appreciate y'all having me, man. I've been waiting to be invited.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nah, bro, I appreciate it, man. And I'm gonna jump right in. Right, I know Thrash is your last name. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more to that, especially in this space, in this industry that you're in, where you got to stand out, you got to be bold, and you do that very well. What about a name, right? What about a name has taken you to where you are today? How proud are you of to be able to say, I mean, I'm wearing a Thrash Bespoke, very, very nice crew right now, but what about a name is heavy for you that's allowed you to go into the space that you're in?
Man, I think that just names are very powerful just because one is how people have to address you every day of your life. So the fact that my last name is Thrash is just a very like powerful name. Even my son's name, my son's first name is Royal. I mean, so I just believe having powerful names,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But when it comes to actually branding, everyone assumes that it's a nickname or they assume that it's a brand name. So when they find out it's my real name, they was like, bro, you're meant to do this.
Sure.
I mean, I also come from being an athlete, so I come from having Thrash on the back of a jersey,
yeah,
where everyone thought it was a nickname. You know what I mean? So it's always just been a good life thing for me.
Yeah.
When I was young, I never even thought about how cool the name Thrash was until I got, you know what I'm saying, probably like in high school, and I was like, damn, my name cool as shit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But yeah, man.
Now let's go back to designing. Like getting started, And I know this. I have the ability to know this, but everybody might not know this. And let me ask you before I get there, right? Because I just jumped on here. I felt like everybody knew you already. But who is Quentin Thrash, right? Who is this guy that's in LA making, designing suits from stars to models to actors to normal people, all in between? But who is this guy that steps on the scene and everybody's like, yo, who is that?
Yeah. Well, to begin, like, man, I'm really just a small town country boy. So that's the crazy thing is that I was never cultivated for this. Like, I didn't come from an entrepreneurial family. I didn't come from a creative family like that. You know what I mean? So, like, this is literally, like, first generation. Like, I broke the mold type shit. You know what I mean? And, but yeah, it's just, I think that I've always been a person that paid attention to the details and cared about presenting myself well, especially being young and black, you know what I mean, coming from the South. And so I think I always really leaned really heavy into just presenting myself well and representing for our culture. So that's why I chose menswear is what actually resonates to me the most over streetwear or any of those types of things. I always want to keep things at the highest level. And even as far as the way I dress, like, I just believe in expressing myself the way that's natural to me and genuine to me. Which, like I said, I come from being a very bold personality and I come from being an athlete and all these things. So it's like me being shy ain't never been a thing. So even when it comes to the way my clothes translate, ain't nothing shy about the way that I dress.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, I like that. And embracing that, right? Embracing that style, personality as they come together. And you're like really doing a good job of matching that. Now, I know some people, especially in the industry, don't find that voice or find that comfort and they're steady searching. But you relied on authenticity, staying you and being who you are. How much do you think that trait of authenticity has allowed you to thrive in this space that you're in?
A lot, man, because you'll be surprised at how many people from different eras, different areas of life respect what I do. They be like, Thrash, I couldn't wear that. That ain't me, but you killing that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I love that because, like, now I can relate to so many different people. I relate to business people. I relate to my people back in the hood. You know what I mean? They get it.
Yeah.
They know that deep down, I'm still the same person. I might dress a little different from them.
Yeah.
But it's like now they're saying, like, oh, it's acceptable to be able to be into arts, be into creative stuff. You know what I mean? And not care what other people think about it because you can still be the same dude you always been. I still got dreads and tattoos and gold teeth and all that kind of stuff. I still got all that.
Yeah.
But it's just the way I do it. It's just a lot more kind of polished in a sense. And that's what people need to see. Because some people are like interested in these things, but they're so worried about what other people think about them.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm trying to be that catalyst to show you, oh, no, somebody that looks like you and talks like you and come from where you come from is doing.
Yeah. So. It's representation and it's breaking the mold. It's letting other people know that you can be yourself. You can be a black man from the country and still be able to find your lane when you focus on it. And one of the things that, you know, as we've had, Corey was on an episode earlier, Trail was on an episode earlier, and a lot of the tying line between everybody that we've had while we've been in LA has been being real, being me, being genuine. Because I think here, correct me if I'm wrong, but here's a kind of a place where you can sniff out the BS pretty quick.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you're in Hollywood,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
And being able to understand that that's what makes you you. That's what makes you genuine. And just being able to share that story, man, I really appreciate that. And I commend you on consistently tapping in and leaning into that story. Now, how many years ago did you move to LA?
11.
11 years ago.
Yeah, man. Been 11 years ago.
With no fashion background.
Nothing, bro. I didn't even know that I could be into fashion until I was in my 20s. Like, I knew nothing about fashion. All I knew was you go to the mall, you buy clothes. That was the extent of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The biggest brand that I really were, like, that I really knew anything about was, like, Ralph Lauren, which is, you know what I'm saying, Ralph's probably one of my favorite designers. But, like, I knew nothing about fashion. I didn't understand fabrics and materials and just kind of, like, where designs on things came from. I didn't understand none of that. I didn't conceptualize any of that kind of stuff. So when I moved to L.A., that's when my mind opened up and I started being able to see, like, oh, there's a market for all of this stuff. And, like, this is how it all works. And then that's when I was able to kind of dive deeper into it. So it was one of those things where I was interested in it. I had a natural talent, but I wasn't exposed to it to even know about it. So once I was exposed to it, it was off to the races.
Yeah. Yeah, how as you dive into an industry that you're falling in love with because you had that exposure. Mm-hmm. When did you get this confidence about it to where it was like, oh, this is working, and what I'm doing, people are really appreciating? Because I know it's one thing, especially when you think about something that you're starting new. It's one thing to have a goal in mind and go that route. It's another thing to be able to understand, okay, this is my goal, but things come along the path that might deter me off of that, but you stay focused in order to get to that goal. For you, like what in those moments or in those times, man, how have you been able to say, oh, okay, this is working? Like, people really rock with what I'm doing, and from there, business mm-hmm. is becoming revenue and these kind of things. You're getting these calls. What was that like for you to be able to get into that and kind of realize, like, oh, people like really like what I do?
Yeah. Oh, man. I think it was even before LA. Like I tell you, I've always been a well-dressed guy. Mm-hmm. Like, even before the fashion stuff, like, I always dressed well. Mm-hmm. And people were receptive to it. Like, they just understood that this is Thrash. He don't care what y'all think about his outfit. This is him. He gonna turn up.
Yep.
So moving to LA, which moving to a place like LA is like, honestly, it's more acceptable to be able to be more creative and to be, you know what I'm saying, more ostentatious or whatever you want to call it. So LA, yeah, was like more of a like, dang, like it's fine. I'm finally meeting people that get it now. Mm. You know what I mean? It's still, mm-hmm. you got your people that don't understand or right. don't get it or right. a little bit more closed-minded.
Right.
But there are more people here than where I'm from that are open-minded to these things.
For sure. Yeah. And sometimes about putting yourself in the right places.
Yeah,
and right that's place, what I'm saying. Right time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think being able to relocate to just get a fresh take on things, you know what I mean? Not necessarily LA is the best move for everybody, but I think that getting out of whatever your comfort zone is and just going and placing yourself in a new place, it might not even be for forever,
right?
But it's just going to open you up to a whole another world of things that you've never, you know what I'm saying, had access to before.
Right.
So that's what LA has done for me, and that's why I've been out here 11 years now, because I'm like, bro, I didn't even know the world had this much to offer.
Yeah.
Like, before I moved to LA, bro, I didn't even think that it was like a real thing that people did. Like, people don't really move to LA and do shit. Like, I thought you just either born here and you did this, or it's just something you see on TV, like a facade.
Yeah.
So when I actually ended up having the opportunity to move here and I jumped on it, I was like, hold up, man, like, regular people live here.
Yeah.
Like, so. Nah. But I was that small-minded coming from where I came from. I was 23 years old thinking like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that, oh, I can't, like, don't my people don't move to LA and live there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just CGs on TV.
Yeah. And the moment you did that, right, the time before that, right, go back, because I know you've told me about college, and it started one way and it finished another way. So that takes a lot of balls to move to a place, mm-hmm. you know, like a LA, where you hear people come out here just getting swallowed up, chewed up, spit out. But you came with a different mindset. What was that mindset?
One.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
I know I'm a hustler at the end of the day. So no matter what it is, like, I don't know if you know, but I'm also a barber. So I've been a barber for like 17 years.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I know how to get a check. I know how to make some money.
Yeah.
Whether it's just enough to feed myself every day, I know how to make some money. So that's why I was never really worried about like having to move back home. I was like, as long as I take these clippers with me, I'm going to be able to make some money. You know what I mean? I know how to talk to people. I know what I'm saying. Like, so that, I just kind of had this confidence about myself that no matter what, I'm going to make some shit shake no matter what. whatever it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not afraid to get, you know what I'm saying, go back to the trenches and, you know what I mean, do what I got to do to get some money. Like, I've never been afraid of that.
Yeah.
So I think that's what helped me with not getting swallowed up in L.A. You know what I mean? Just kind of having that, I don't want to call it arrogance, but just having that, like, knowing that I'm going to always find a way to make it, for make
sure.
it work.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Now, being here 11 years, seeing some of the people that you've seen, staying rooted, staying grounded in what it is that you do specifically, take me back to that moment where you got that first phone call that was a, like, you hung the phone up and was like, y'all can't believe I just got this phone call.
Bro, so I'll take my biggest one, but I'll take my very first one first.
Okay.
Which was a big one, but it was the bigger one that came not too long after that.
Okay.
So I had just moved to LA. I had maybe been here a few months. And so I moved here from Charleston, South Carolina. So AJ Green, they used to play for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
He used to get his hair cut at my barbershop because he was from Somerville. He was from the area.
Okay.
So he knew that I was like the stylish guy in the barbershop. Yeah. But me and him weren't tight or nothing like that yet. And he hit me up on Twitter. I was working in a barbershop at the time. And he DM'd me or whatever it's called on Instagram, on Twitter, this is before Instagram.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, I got some appearances I got to make in Vegas. He's like, can you put together some looks for me? I was like, all right, I guess. Because people had been telling me, people had been talking like, you should be a stylist, right, you should be this. Right, but like, I didn't know nothing about none of that stuff. So I remember he was like, I was like, okay, like what type of like budget you got, whatever. He was like, I do like 10 grand. Nigga, mind you, I'm 23 years old. I ain't never seen $10,000 in my life.
Yeah.
Nigga, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So that was my very first styling gig. But the biggest one, which honestly wasn't too long after that, I was at this little breakfast spot on Sunset, me and one of my homeboys, and I got a phone call, and I had to step outside to take the call. And the call was to style a music video for Prince.
Wow.
And I remember getting off that call, and I remember I texted their ass, too, because it was like last minute. I remember I texted that. And I walked back in the restaurant, and I told my homeboy, because we had just ordered the food, I said, hey, we gotta get the fuck up out of here.
So I gotta go work.
Yeah. We got shit to do.
Yeah.
And man. So like, that's probably one of those like, what? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how's my name even ringing in those rooms this early in my, you know what I'm saying, my situation in LA?
Yeah.
But yeah. So those are the two. Like in the very beginning, I was just like, bro, what?
That's a testament to the future track of where you were going.
Right.
Having those wins early. And being able to appreciate those wins. I like how you said that, though, because a lot of times and this happens that people get a win and they're like, okay, we're cool. And you're like, no, bro, we got to go right now.
Yeah, like.
I got to go put this. It ain't a win until it's done.
Right.
Start all the way through completion and just being able to understand, all right, in this moment, let's go change the trajectory of our of what happens from here on out, right?
Yeah. And another thing people don't realize is, right, like, so when I moved to L.A., I had these, like, quick wins in a sense, right? But what, especially people from back home, they were like, oh, Thrasher made it. He this and that. He hanging out with celebrities and da-da-da. It's like, bro, that was a one-time check, bro.
Right.
Them little couple $1,000 was gone in a couple weeks. You know what I mean? Me trying to catch up on stuff that I already owed on. Like, so that was the thing. Is like, the real part of success in L.A. is getting to the point where you do this consistently, where you can make a living doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all, especially when you first move to L.A., you meet celebrities every other day out here in L.A. But that don't mean that I got the same type of bag that this person has.
For sure.
Or I got the same type of access that this person has. You might just see me in a picture with Drake and Rihanna. That don't mean I got nothing from that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's just how life works out here. And like even actually one of my homeboys from back in Charleston texted me last night from the video from the Woodford event. He's like, is that Jeffrey from Fresh Prince? I was like, yeah. He's like, he said, tell him something. He brought up something about the show or whatever. But it's just like, people see that and they think that I have something to do with that. And it's like, no, we just happen to be in the same place at the same time. We have mutual relationships and friends and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But like they don't got nothing to do with my success or anything that came from his success.
Right. Yeah. That does come back, like you said, the facade of L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, you're just there and you're positioned. But that's one of those things that's important because there are a lot of people seemingly that are in your industry. And I do what you do, but that are in your industry, right? But you have to stand out amongst that competition. Mm-hmm. You have to, or else, again, you're not going to make it out here. Mm-hmm. What about you has allowed you to stay head and shoulders above, not just because you're tall, but stay head and shoulders above other people when it comes to styling, designing, and really giving people expression through mm-hmm. through their attire?
I think the fact that you can feel it on me that this isn't a gimmick. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you see this shit, like, nigga, I really dress like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm dressed like this because we doing this, but if we wasn't doing this, I'd still be wearing this.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So you can feel that with me. You know, so I'm not over here trying to be all prim and proper. Yeah. Like, no, nigga, these clothes, I got on clothes. Yeah. Just like you do. You just happen to have on jeans and a t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that is one of the main things. And also just being like a walking billboard for yourself. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't really have to do much explaining.
Right. Right.
Even if you don't know me,
right.
I don't have to do much explaining. They be like, oh, I can clearly see what you do
right.
for a living.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how I got my very first client that I made a suit for. I was walking down the street. And I had on this green double-breasted suit that I had just made for myself. Never made a suit for anyone else but myself.
Mm.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Sam Adegoke. He's an actor on the show Dynasty.
Yeah.
He plays a character called Jeff Kobe. And I was walking down the street in downtown LA, and I had on this green double-breasted suit. And he's Nigerian. And he stopped me. He was like, where'd you get that suit from? I was like, I actually made it myself.
Yeah.
He was like, bro, he's like, can you make that suit for me for the show? I said, I guess so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't even where my mind was at with it. And, like, 2 days later, you know what I'm saying? They had cut the check. I was making my first suit for a client. And then I think they ended up ordering, like, 4 more suits for me for that same season. And then, like, they were ordering suits for me every season after that.
Mm.
So, like, that was all just like, bro, like, this shit just, it just clicks. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I shifted what I had going on at that moment. I was like, this seems to be more promising at the moment. And it's more fun. So this is the route that I'm taking.
I like the underlying thing there too, as a, if you are your business, if you are your, or you are a business owner, you have to represent yourself in a way. You have to come out to people to where, not come out, you have to represent yourself in a way that speaks highly of what it is that your brand is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do find that some people are in, you know, different industries and different walks and different paths, but those that are known for and making a name for themselves, I do find it, I hear from them that I find it easier when they go and they're not trying to battle uphill because nobody can tell what you do. And mm-hmm. I said to say, like, obviously your win comes from the exterior of people. Like, oh, okay, I know that he can style, I know that he can design. But other individuals that are, you know, in tech spaces, and they don't do it that way. But it's a way to walk into a room, huh? It's a way that you go in and people immediately respect you in that lane and in that industry. How important is it to have that confidence, or to your point, being that walking billboard, no matter what it is that you're in?
Man, it's so important. That's why, like, that's my main thing, especially doing bespoke. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not out here doing commercials and things like that and mass marketing and stuff like that. So it's really about my relationships with people, you know what I'm saying? How I make people feel.
Mm.
Like, even when I walked in and Rock mentioned, he asked me about what I was wearing, I was like, yeah, everything I have on is mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it should be.
Right.
Because if someone asked me, dang, I really love that coat, but it's somebody else's coat, you know what I mean? Like that doesn't reflect good on me as a designer. Maybe me as a person that dresses well, but not me as a designer.
True.
So it's like, I'm at the point where everything I wear is my own clothes.
True.
And it's just because that was what was important for me at the level how I wanted to interact with people.
Right.
Even just the way that I my personality is when I go to events. Like, because I'm in such like a premium space in clothing, the way that I move around places matters. The type of car that I drive when I show up to your event shows a level of respect of, you know what I'm saying, when I'm coming to your place.
Yeah.
I'm not the center of attention when I go. Well, sort of, kind of.
I'm trying to be.
You know what I mean? I'm not the loud person. I'm not all in the middle of the room doing all this, trying to, you know what I'm saying, be, you know what I'm saying, the life of the party. I'm not
that.
It's like, I'm that cool, calculated, you know what I'm saying, smooth guy that people are like, damn, this is what I wish I was. That person. I wish I was the person that didn't have to do all of that. Right. I wish I was the person that people attracted to me and wanted to, you know what I'm saying, know what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's how I've always been attracted to how other people that I've looked up to, you operate it. I've never been attracted to the person who wants to be the center of attention. That ain't never been cool to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I always want to be the cool guy to like, damn, like, it was this dude. He had on his red corduroy coat. Who was that nigga?
Yeah.
And right. I love having that allure.
Yeah.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
I do like that. You brought up this red that you got on, man. This is nice. I'm just saying, those that can't see the video, you can just hear the audio. This is nice. Go find the video on Patreon. But this here, though, I love this, man. And so as a designer, right, where do you find your inspiration? Because I know people find it from different places, and I know one of the you joked about this off camera. It's like, but I just push it on. But like, where do you find inspiration?
Inspiration, man, comes from a lot of different things for me. You could literally look at every piece that I get on and see something different from it. You know what I mean? You look at my coat, you see Western flavor in it.
Right, right.
You look at my tie, you see Italian flavor in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of different things. One of the things that I learned about myself, and that shows you how genuine it is, because I'm learning things about myself from just noticing how I've been operating for forever.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I noticed about myself is I love the challenge of taking something that's typically either taboo or looked at as like corny or nerdy and finding a way to make that shit cool. You know what I mean? So whether it's dressing like a nerd or dressing like a professor or something like that, but finding a way to make that shit cool.
Yeah.
That's how I developed my style. That's how I found my little niche of like, oh yeah, y'all niggas ain't doing this shit. I'm finna show y'all niggas how it can be done to make it cool.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, that's kind of the space I like to live in.
Oh man, what's your favorite season?
Ooh. You know, it's crazy. I hate being cold. I feel like most fashion people like it, like colder months, just to be able to layer and stuff, which I love layering, but I hate being cold.
Okay.
And I hate wearing coats that cover up my whole outfit because I want you to see every detail, you know what I mean, that's going on.
Yeah.
But I think, honestly, I'm more of like a summer guy, to be completely honest with you.
Okay.
I'm more of a summer guy.
Lighter fabrics, lighter weighted fabrics.
Honestly, nah. Like,
But you in L.A., that's right.
Wildwell corduroy, you know what I mean?
We can't do that in Texas.
Yeah, I can't do that in Texas.
Right now, nah.
But like, the thing about L.A. is like, it'll be so hot during the day, but then it'll be cool in the evening.
Right, yeah.
But also, I don't spend a lot of time outside. Normally, I'm in and out of places or whatever. I'm in certain buildings where it's like air conditioning on. So it's like, I'd rather get caught with a jacket on that I can take off than to be cold and can't, you know what I'm saying, can't get warm. True. So I normally always have a coat on. Yeah.
There's a statement that I hear, and not necessarily just in the industry, but you'd rather be overdressed than underdressed.
Oh yeah, definitely.
What's that mean to you?
Exactly what it says. I'd rather be overdressed than underdressed. Like, I'd rather at any given moment, because it's also, this is LA, you never know what you're gonna fall into. I might get a phone call, hey yo, Thrash, I need you to pull up, da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh bro, I got on some Jordan shorts and some slides on. Like, you don't catch me slipping like that.
Yeah.
I always got some shit on for you. You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing, like I'm very much a homebody nowadays. I'm very much a homebody, so I don't go out a lot nowadays. But if you catch me while I'm out, I pull up anywhere.
Yeah.
Plus, believe I'm ready to go too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What's your favorite fabric, and what's your favorite pattern?
Favorite pattern, definitely tartans. I love plaids.
Yeah.
I love tartans.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah.
I love plaids. I love mixing patterns. I mean, that's kind of my thing, is like mixing the patterns and stuff. Favorite fabrics. I mean, probably just a really good lightweight wool. You know what I mean? Something that you can wear, you know what I'm saying, seasonally all year round.
Right. Yeah. Right. You talked about this before we got on camera around some upcoming travel you've got. And being in some places, man, I know, you know, you stand out everywhere, even to pity.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it mean for you to be in places like that where everybody's stepping?
Yeah.
But then they still, everybody's stepping, but then all eyes still come.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on, man.
It's a beautiful thing, bro, because especially being in the States where our industry isn't that huge, especially with black men.
Yeah.
So going over there, we're just like, everyone gets it. Like, just not even just at Pitti, just the city of Florence, you know what I mean? In Europe, like, people just dress well normally, even if you're not in the fashion. Like, that's just kind of like their culture is dressing on dressing well.
Right.
So it's like, nobody's flexing on each other. Nobody. It's like that isn't even part of their culture because, like, everyone dresses well.
Gotcha.
I remember I got flexed on so hard the last time I went, bro. We was at dinner at this spot called Gilly, and it was this guy. He had on his coat, and we was like, so he was talking to one of my homeboys, and me and my other homie was like looking at his coat like, what is that? Like, what is that shit? Yeah. Is that alpaca or something? Yeah. And he was just like, he was just so cool. He was like, oh, no, my friend. This is baby horse. I was like, what? It's just, and then when I thought about it later, I was like, oh, he just meant pony hair. But just like the way he knows, he just, oh, no, this is baby horse. And it's just like, that's just the standard out there. You know what I mean? He was like, this is 500 euro a meter or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? But that's just how everybody dresses out there. And that's what I loved about it is because I wasn't a spectacle anymore. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, people just got it. There's, I mean, of course, people respect the style, but it's just not just like, oh, people want to talk to me about every element. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's one of my biggest things about, like, going out to an event. That's why I say I don't go out a lot.
Because they want to talk about
everything. People want to talk about everything. Imagine me having 20, 30 conversations and every last one of them want to break down every element of my outfit. It's like, bro, I ain't trying to have that conversation, bro. Like saying, I ain't even think that much about this outfit the way you think about it right now.
Right.
I probably got to look back like, what the fuck did I, like, what did I put on today? You know what I mean? Like, I learned to be that kind of, like, it's just that natural.
Yeah, man. I enjoy hearing that mindset of it, because to your point, 30 people gonna ask me the same question, and I have to break it down. And then you're gonna get them the, you know, as they try to get engaged in the conversation, they, you know, I did this before, or what you think about that? You probably should have done. It's like, oh, thank you. You know, I had to hear all that.
And I don't mind the compliments and stuff. Honestly, the crazy thing, I don't need compliments.
Yeah.
Bro, I do this genuinely for me. I'm comfortable in who I am.
Right.
I'm not doing it for the validation of others. If I go out and I don't get one compliment, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
But when you give me a compliment and I thank you, we engage, and then you keep going, and I got to keep thanking you,
Yeah.
It's like...
Nah, it's right.
Now it's like, I don't really know how to... Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to be nice. Right. You know what I mean? But it's just like... This conversation can't go nowhere else, bro. Like,
right, yeah, right.
So that's like, and that's also what I was saying. Like, when I am out at places, I tend to kind of, I'm like a wallflower, bro. I tend to like drift off in the corner somewhere, and I'll be chilling because, like, I just, those interactions just become a little much when I'm just trying to be out here and mingle with my friends and whatever. So, yeah.
Man, speaking of mingling with your friends, bro, I appreciate you pulling up on us for a derby soiree.
Oh, man.
Out here, man. That was,
I would not miss it.
That was fun black excellence.
Beautiful, man. Black accents, man. That's why I came up to you. I said, bro, this is what success looks like, nigga. Yeah. I love to see it, bro.
Man, no, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate you following through, man. I appreciate you being on the check-in with us today. Would you live anywhere else in the world?
I think I will for just the experiences, but I like L.A., man. Yeah. I love L.A. It's got a lot to offer. It's tough, but I believe, like, that's what I... love. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. I like it not being too easy, not being too slow, having to stay, you know what I'm saying, keeping your foot on the pedal or whatever. Like, that's what I like.
Right.
So everybody else isn't like me, but for me, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you actually like the water?
Like
the ocean?
I'm not a big, like, beach ocean fan. Like, I'll hop on a jet ski or something and get off, but other than that, like, I ain't out there just trying to swim in the ocean. Like, I don't be doing all that.
No, for sure. For sure, man. Well, shoot, what's next?
Man. I mean, I'm just always grinding, bro. I got so many different things in the works that I don't even be, I just be in my zone. Yeah, but, I mean, I got this project that I'm working on trying to incorporate teaching inner city kids how to digitally design like fashion illustrations.
Okay.
So that's something I got that I'm working on with a major company that I'm just not even gonna mention because it's just not that far on yet. But so that's something that I'm important. It's just like passing. I think that whenever you reach a level of success, the next thing to do is pass it forward. Right. You know what I mean? So I definitely always want to make sure I'm doing, you know what I'm saying, my part in doing that type of stuff. Eventually, I want to move into doing some ready to wear stuff.
Okay.
I just feel like in business, just like I like where I'm at now in business, but I think that to grow to the next level, that's what the space I'm going to need to step into. So I'm just kind of like toying around with ideas and what that actually looks like coming
right.
from me.
Right.
Because nothing that I do is cookie cutter.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
yeah, just trying to figure out what that looks like.
Oh, man. Well, shoot, how can our audience tap in, follow you? Where can they find you at?
Instagram. My personal Instagram is StayFlyThrash. The brand page is Thrash Bespoke. And then my website is thrashbespoke.com.
Y'all heard it here. The Check-In, L.A., my guy Thrash, Mr. Quentin Thrash, a.k.a. Thrash. Join us today, man. I appreciate it, brother. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate you coming from the heart. I appreciate the authenticity. And I appreciate you being genuine every time we get together. Every time you open your mouth, it's always genuine, man. I really respect that because you don't get that from everybody, right? I want to know actually how it happened, not, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, you know.
Just the glitz and glam, yeah.
Exactly, bro. So I appreciate that. You guys, as always, there were so many gems and parts in this conversation that can help you, no matter what field or industry or track that you're on. Make sure that you share this with somebody else. Make sure that you like it, you subscribe to it yourself. Because here at the Check-In, all we want to do is take the stories of our brothers and share them with the rest of our brothers, because there's so many things that happen in your life that other people are like, man, I can never do that. And then they hear the story of Thrash and they're like, oh, shoot, I can't do that. So guys, anybody out there, guys, ladies, whoever listens to this podcast, please share it. Because again, we want to just help empower and motivate those that are listening. Thank y'all for joining us here on this episode. Tap in next time. See y'all later.
Thank you for listening to the Check-In with Black Menswear. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and tell a friend about it. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Black Menswear. Check out and subscribe to the Black Menswear YouTube channel and visit us online at www.weareblackmenswear.com to join the mailing list for ongoing updates for the Black Menswear Flash Mob Tour. Peace and blessings.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.